It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn. In the barn. Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Bean.
All right, and a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome, everyone, into the Bet America Radio Network. You are in the barn. Hope everybody had a fantastic, fantastic holiday weekend. A very good Valentine's Day and President's Day. An amazing weekend of racing from coast to coast. I mean, you talk about Tampa Bay Downs, Golden Gate Fields, Oaklawn Park, Santa Anita, Gulfstream, everywhere in between. There was big, important stakes racing going on around the country. And, you know, normally at the top of the show, for the first show of the week, I always do my pick three where I talk about, you know, the three big topics of the weekend I want to cover. And I feel like right now I need to have a pick six because there's so many just big things that happened this weekend that I wanted to address. But we'll start with the first here. But first of all, let's introduce our pick three.
Welcome.
Let's go.
It's time for the pick three.
Three, two, one.
Discussing Jason's top three stories of the week.
So the first one I wanted to start with was the return of Tepin in the Grade 3 Endeavor Stakes. We talked with Andrew Dembski, the analyst from Tampa Bay Downs this past week, and I think everybody knew that Tepin was going to be a huge favorite, was going to be extremely tough to beat, but I think what we saw was pretty darn impressive.
Oh, gets busy asking her to pick it up for it. Lexi Liu is on the move from the outside as they approach the quarter mile pole. Lovely Lorie has the lead. Tepin is there second. Lexi Liu moves up on the outside. Now to challenge and photo call. Now they straighten away and they sprint to the wire. Tepin now strikes to the lead toward the rail. Lovely Lorie. And there she goes. Tepin, the Breeders' Cup champion, makes her 2016 debut. A winning one. Sprinting home four lengths to the good. Lady Laura was second. Lovely Lorie with a solid effort for third. Running time on the board, 142.91.
Now, when you heard Richard Grunder say, there she goes, I mean, that was maybe an understatement because she just absolutely took off. It was such a great return to the races. You know, watching this race down the backstretch, I had this weird thought that you know, Tep, she just looks like every other horse in the race. Like, they're galloping there, and she just looks like the next horse in line, even though while the race is going off, everybody's watching her. But, man, when she straightened away and that kicked clear in the blink of an eye, it was just an awesome turn of foot. I mean, that was a comeback. You know, I was kind of hard on Songbird the other day, who did nothing wrong in her fantastic seasonal debut. But, you know, this is a proven horse. This is a horse we've seen do some great things. There's not a question about her ability right now. And, you know, you're already starting to hear people talk about Royal Ascot and, you know, maybe Dubai and other races like that. But it was a monumentally good effort for Tepin coming back to the races and dominating in the Endeavor Stakes. It was part of a pretty good card there at Tampa Bay this past weekend. The Sam F. Davis, of course, we saw Destin. One of the two, Destin was kind of the other Pletcher, but got the job done and won by 2.25 lengths in what I think was, you know, a decent prep. I think Destin was, you know, when we talked with Andrew Dembski about that race, that was kind of the race that we thought everybody was going to be, you know, they were trying to see if they belonged on the Derby trail. And, you know, Destin certainly belongs in the Tampa Bay Derby, and if he continues to move forward, certainly a chance to you know, become a legitimate Kentucky Derby contender. But I don't think anybody was too bowled over with the Sam Davis, but nonetheless. So the second part of our pick three, we had Michael Rohn on the show last week as well, and we talked a lot about the El Camino Real Derby. Here's the stretch call that race.
Had no luck. Mana Strikers last as they bunch at the 5/16 pole. Kelly with a twist taken on by Algernon. A length to Frank Conversation being set alight by Gutierrez. He makes a line of three on the swing for home. Sandemus just in behind them. And they're followed by Tusk. Cassiopeia running on. 3/16 left to go. And Frank Conversation, the Cal Derby winner, hits the lead. Pursued in earnest by Tusk. They're followed by Sandemus, Algernon, Cassiopeia next. 16th pole and Frank Conversation still in front. Tusk trying very hard to get to him, but Frank Conversation will take the El Camino Real Derby 3/4 length. Tusk second. Great effort by Cassiopeia to get into the money. Fourth either Sandemus or Diplodocus.
So Frank Conversation, the favorite, winning the El Camino Real Derby, but I think two of the big stories that are going to come out of this race are, one, Tusk, who we talked with Michael Rohn about. He was very high on Tusk in this race. This is a horse that came from, he was kind of just behind Frank Conversation the whole way, and essentially actually, you know, Frank Conversation was sixth early on, Tusk was seventh. Mid part of the race, Frank Conversation was sixth, Tusk was eighth. Frank Conversation made his move a little bit earlier than Tusk, and sure enough, he ends up winning by 3/4 length. But I didn't see a whole lot between those two horses. I actually thought Mario Gutierrez made a really nice move. He kind of went after those leaders a little bit early on the turn and put himself in a position to take the lead right as they turned for home. And got to the rail and was able to hold off a late run from Tusk. Cassiopeia is kind of the one everybody was talking about after the race, and you heard Michael Rona, mention a tremendous effort by Cassiopeia. I still got to work on my Rona impression, but coming down from Woodbine, was 11th early on out of 13 runners, far back, five wide after breaking slow, and still managed to overcome a lot of that trouble and get up for third ahead of San Dimas, who finished fourth, who was an 86-1 long shot. But I think all three of those horses, have a chance to kind of move forward. I'm sure we'll likely see them as we get closer to the Santa Anita Derby. Frank Conversation now with a couple wins in a row for trainer Doug O'Neill, who obviously saddles Nyquist as well. But Nyquist, apparently, according to Jeremy Balin, who we had on the show last week, pointing toward the Florida Derby as opposed to the Santa Anita Derby. So this could be Doug O'Neill's Santa Anita Derby horse, Frank Conversation, who comes in with a couple of pretty nice wins in a row. But, certainly the travel to Santa Anita going to be a little bit different than running up at the synthetic surface of Golden Gate. But nonetheless, I think the El Camino Real Derby could be a somewhat productive prep as we get ready for the racing in Southern California with the Santa Anita Derby coming up in about 7 or 8 weeks. So there's still some plenty of prep action on the West Coast here, but some good West Coast horses. And the West Coast has been so prominent in the Kentucky Derby the last couple of years. I think it's certainly one of the areas you want to pay the most attention to. The final spot in our pick three, that's right, some quarter horse racing. Los Alamitos Winter Championships Saturday night, or Sunday night, the final race of the week, and it was a matchup that quarter horse fans, and even non-quarter horse fans, I saw a lot of people on social media being really fired up for this race who are not quarter horse people at all, but we had Moonist, and He's a Dash of Fire, the two top quarter horse in the game. They were drawn right next to each other in post 5 and 6, and here is the dramatic finish of the race.
Alamitos Winter Championship, and Munoz got off to a beautiful start, and He's a Dash of Fire is right alongside Jake Gold to the extreme outside. Here comes He's a Dash of Fire and Munoz, and the matchup we've been waiting for is developing right now. Munoz on the inside, He's a Dash of Fire going stride for stride. Munoz and He's a Dash of Fire, and round three goes to Munoz. He knocks, gets the knockout punch here over He's a Dash of Fire.
So the old veteran Moonist gets the win over He's a Dash of Fire. I've always kind of been team He's a Dash of Fire, and I know Moonist has a huge rooting gallery. He's kind of the old horse that's just been around and still kicking and doing awesome work in an old age, and it's really hard to not like those horses. But I just think He's a Dash of Fire is a spectacular horse, and he had to play catch up yesterday, and I think that kind of Moonist is He's Dash Fire is usually such a good breaker, and when he didn't outbreak Moonist and he had to try to chase him home, trying to chase home a champion like Moonist is not something that's very easy to do, and Moonist proved it as he held on to win last night in what was a really fantastic race. But there's our pick three, but I tell you, I wanted it to be the pick five. I mean, we'll talk about a few of these things as we continue through the week, but Bolo in the Arcadia was absolutely huge, catching obviously late. Got a big speed figure number, I know, at least from our friend Craig Milkowski at Timeform US. The Southwest Stakes, the San Vicente with Nyquist. I mean, there's just so much stuff to talk about, and we'll talk about much more of that stuff as we go throughout the week. We do have a special guest this week. We're going to be going out here shortly to talk to Kayla Straw, who joins us here on the program in just a bit, talk about her return to the saddle. Kayla had her second baby back in November. She's a Bet America spokesman, so we're always on Team Kayla here at Bet America. But after the absence for a couple of months now from riding, has resumed her career in the saddle. So we'll catch up with Kayla here a little bit about her story, how she got into being a jockey, her trials and tribulations as a rider, as well as being on the show Jockeys. I was fascinated to ask her stories about being on the television show Jockeys. But we're also going to debut a new musical parody first, though, and we're going to do that after the short time. In fact, we're going to hear from Kayla right now. We'll be right back after this timeout. It's the Bet America Radio Network. You are in the barn.
Hello, This is Kayla Stratt, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
All right, so our thanks to Kayla Straw for that. And again, we'll talk to Kayla here in just a couple of minutes. But I want to introduce this week's song parody. We had a little bit of drama with the song parody last week, and we'll maybe get into that a little further down the road. But this one is about the great sprinter Run Happy and the tremendous year, but also dramatic year and tumultuous year that he and his connections had. And it's I my goal for these is for it to always be fun and to make people laugh, and everybody seems to be enjoying them. So here's this week's song parody of the week. Don't worry, Run Happy.
There's a little horse I know. He likes to sprint and crush his foes. Don't worry, Run Happy. He got the start at the turf way. Maria fed him only oats and hay. Don't worry, Run Happy.
Don't worry, Run Happy.
He went and won a grade one at the Spa, and then he won at Keeneland by far. Don't worry, he's Run Happy. Breeders' Cup, he beat them on the track. Then Maria got fired by Mattress Mac. Don't worry, Run Happy.
Don't worry, Run Happy.
Don't worry, Run Happy.
Don't worry, he never runs crappy.
Drama will be fun, don't worry. Run Happy, don't worry, he's Run Happy. Don't worry, he's Run Happy. He's Run Happy, he never runs crappy.
All right, so there's this week's song parody, Don't Worry, Run Happy. You like my Caribbean accent? I worked up for that one. But you can always find the song parodies on YouTube. Go to the Bet America channel. If you just YouTube search Bet America, it'll usually pop right up. But you can check out Pletcher Has the Highest Buyers, or Larry Jones Song, or Dortmund. I got a whole slew of them. We usually do one a week, and you can always find them on YouTube or right here on the Barn, the Bet America Radio Network. Going to be joined here in just a couple of minutes by Kayla Straw, but do want to talk about some of the great promotions we have going on at BetAmerica. Now, if you bet Frank Conversation in the El Camino Real Derby, then you now have a win ticket on him if He gets into the field for the Kentucky Derby. It's part of our Road to the Kentucky Derby promotion. It starts this weekend, or this past weekend, with the El Camino Real Derby, as well as the Southwest Stakes. So if you had the winner of either of those two races, and that horse makes it to the Kentucky Derby, you'll get a free bet on that same horse in the Kentucky Derby. All the information about that promo, as well as other promotions we have, can always be found at betamerica.com/extra, and then click on the promotions tab, or key, or whatever it is, wherever it says promotions, and then look up Kentucky Derby 2016, free bet the Road to the Kentucky Derby. Also, don't forget to check out our Dubai stuff we have going on. So the racing in Dubai generally Thursday mornings, and we have live blogs going on during the races, as well as free past performances and tip sheets that are all available the Wednesday morning before the races at Dubai. The Dubai racing has just turned into just such a fantastic, fantastic time of the year. You know, I'm not an international racing guy at all, and I've said that before on this show, and I'll say it again, but I really got to salute Pat Cummings, the great Pat Cummings of Hong Kong Jockey Club, who really exposed me to Dubai racing and showed me kind of just how world-class it is. And, you know, I knew about the Dubai World Cup, but this is just a whole different ball of wax watching it every week. But it's just so great to follow. It's a quick card. You know, it's usually only seven races, sometimes eight. It's just a great way to spend your Thursday morning, to be honest. But anyway, so check out all of our Dubai stuff. Again, most of the past performances and tip sheets available Wednesday morning for the Thursday racing. And then we have a live blog going on during the races at betamerica.com/extra. So we're going to head out to a timeout. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Kayla Straw, a member of Team Bet America here, but also a rider on the Southern California circuit. And look forward to chatting with her. And we'll do so after this short timeout. It's the Bet America Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, back here on the Bet America Radio Network, you are in the barn, and we are pleased to go down to Southern California and be joined by a rider in the Southern California Jockey Colony, Kayla Straw, joining us on the phone. Kayla, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing great. Hey, I saw some photos last night from the jockey basketball game. It looked like you were one of the players.
I kind of was. I hope they didn't get a shot of me falling over. I put a hole in my pants.
Oh, did you play basketball growing up, or was this a first time thing for you?
I played every year with the jockeys. Maybe I missed one year, but no, it's not a regular sport I'm that excited about.
who's the best jockey basketball players?
You know what, Edwin and Omar do pretty good. Oh my gosh, Corey Nakatani, but he wasn't with us this year. And then little Drayden, he's a natural at everything he does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he had a pretty good team.
Yeah, Drayden, he's built like a little athlete. But he's almost kind of stocky for a jockey, which is kind of strange. But
he's short, so the weight makes up for it.
Yeah, gotcha. Kayla Straw joining us, and obviously you just came back to the races just this past week. You gave birth to your second child in November. Were you able to come back sooner than you'd planned, or was this kind of right about on target for your return to riding?
Well, because my first son that was born, I was back riding and winning at 8 weeks. He was 8 weeks old when I came back. So this one was a little longer. And you know what? Because I was able to come back into it so quickly with the first one, I guess I thought I would be back quickly too with the second. But I should have taken the time without pressuring myself, which I ended up doing anyway. Mm-hmm. She's 3 months old now and I'm just back, so.
Does it take a while to get back into race riding shape? Because it's different than like morning galloping shape, right?
Yeah, it is. It's different race riding than morning works. Probably you get a lot more air into you because the pressure's on for that last two furlongs, you know. But it's good because I've conditioned myself so well with yoga that my body has good memory in the muscle, and I've got nice lean muscle, which makes it easier for me to do short bursts of cardio and, you know, have better endurance like that.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of the endurance is leg strength, just from kind of having to hold that position. Is that something that comes back pretty quick for you now with doing a lot of the yoga and other stuff?
My legs never left me. It was awesome. The first worker I had back was like 6 furlongs, and I had to laugh when the trainer said, oh, yeah, let's go 6. I'm like, what? Okay. But my legs held up the whole entire time and not changed one bit.
Kayla Straw joining us on the phone. So you came back. Your first ride was just this past weekend. Is there some extra nerves on the first ride back, or was it kind of just business as usual and excited to be back?
I guess there was not much pressure because the odds didn't give me much of a chance. But other than that, I mean, no, it feels so natural to me to come back and ride. The excitement is still there. And any time I've ever felt nervous, I've just changed that into excitement. So I can't tell if I'm nervous anyway.
Kayla Straw joining us on the phone here on the Bet America Radio Network. Kayla, I wanted to hear some of your backstory. Obviously, you know, you're from Australia. Were you born into a racing family? How did you, you know, kind of fall into the sport of horse racing?
I loved animals when I was younger, and I left school when I was 13. But I was working with the trainer, and I just continued to work with them and get paid and learn as much as I could about the industry and, you know, how to ride and train a horse. So I guess I was kind of, I adopted a trainer as my father when I was 13, and I said, hey, I love this. But my real dad raced motocross with the dirt bikes. So if you combine the horses, and in the motocross, I guess I kind of was born to be a jockey.
Were your goals originally to be a rider, or did you maybe think about being a trainer or doing something else in the sport?
You know, I never even wanted to be a jockey, but it just happened that all the things I love fell into that category, and I went for it. You know, I love animals, I love racing, and the people actually taught me a lot about life along the way. So, you know, I got everything I needed out of racing as a jockey. And, you know, obviously the income was great. I bought my first house when I was like 21. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I really got rewarded for just having passion for everything that I did in it.
Mm-hmm. When you start riding in Australia, is it similar to how riders get started here? I mean, or do you like work under a contract with a barn, or do you have an agent that, you know, that goes around booking mounts kind of like here in the States?
It is different in Australia to get going. I just finished a little talk with the stewards this morning because I got done for overuse of the whip, unfortunately.
Oh.
But I brought up something to them that I would like to be implemented here in America that we do in Australia. And it is when you're first going for your license as an apprentice, well, they do like a 3-month course, but obviously that's not compulsory. But included in this 3-month course to get certified to have a license to ride, you have to do an injury awareness and prevention seminar with a vet and a farrier. And I think that would be great to bring in for all the riders here. So little things like that, yes, it's different.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's something they would be receptive to over here?
Yeah, the stewards showed great interest, and I've already spoken with a couple of veterinarians, and they think it's a great idea to, you know, to give the riders a little bit more knowledge about why a horse is sore or why it's off, or so you can kind of pinpoint what's wrong with it rather than just thinking, oh, it doesn't feel good, or maybe it's, you know, sensitive to the girth. At least the riders can be like, hey, it feels off behind, or its front right ankle doesn't feel good, or maybe it's just a hoof bruise. Got just to take it a little bit more seriously and have knowledge about what you're sitting on. I think it'd be a great idea to bring in.
Mm-hmm. When you have you know, meetings with the stewards here or hearings, are they, you know, very like lecturing you on what they think you did wrong, or is it more of like kind of an interactive thing? I don't think a lot of folks have seen what happens during hearings with stewards for stuff like that.
Well, there's a rule book to fall back on. Mm-hmm. Thank gosh. So they can't make up their own rules as they go. They're just trying to, I guess, really tell us what's going on if we've done something against the rules, and then they'll, you know, give us our fine or whatever, or time off. Yeah, I think they're pretty good. We don't get into a casual conversation too often, which sometimes does happen, but, you know, it's professional.
Mm-hmm. Kayla Straw joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. Now, you got off to a very strong start in Australia with your career. You know, you mentioned, you know, buying a house at a young age. So what was it that led the decision to come to the U.S. and Southern California in particular?
Well, I was probably getting kind of bored in Australia because I'd ridden at most of the tracks around Australia. I've been riding the same horses for a while in my hometown. So I got to travel. I got to learn a lot as an apprentice. And my family on my mother's side lived in America. So I really wanted to take the opportunity to come and spend time with them because I grew up with them before I went back to Australia when I was younger. And they're a huge part of my life. Yeah, learning more about racing in another country helps for my knowledge to grow, and then get to see my family. So I was happy.
Was it pretty hard to break into Southern California? I mean, or do you just like show up, try to get an agent, and off you go?
Well, in Australia, you really don't have much of an agent doing the work. It's mostly you yourself in the morning working.
Oh, okay.
So I had to get used to the fact that I needed somebody to help me get mounts. It was tough, but for some reason, I always love to start at the very top and then just try and hold my place up there. I don't really like to go, you know, where it's easy.
Start in the minor
leagues.
Work
my way up. Yeah, I'm just like, oh, let's do it. And I just have to believe in what I have, my skills, my passion, and just, you know, hope it gets me somewhere and shows through.
One thing I've noticed with a lot of riding colonies, and I was the announcer at Portland Meadows for a number of years, and we always had a lot of female riders there. And Southern California hasn't necessarily had a ton of female riders over the years. Do you think it's harder for the girl riders to break in down in California than maybe other circuits or even Australia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely it's harder in California. I don't know why, but maybe it's just because not so many females want to try here because we have that stigmatism of it being hard for the females. But let's say if we had 10 female apprentices come through and 2 guys in the next year,
mm-hmm.
maybe we've got no choice but to give them a shot and see what happens. Because that's pretty much what happened in Australia. When I was an apprentice, I was one of 2 female riders and the rest were all male. And by the time I left, it was about 50-50, and they had to actually give the girls the boys' room in the jockey's room, and the boys ended up taking the girls' room after a while.
Well, we kind of saw that at Woodbine. There's been a real strong insurgence of female bug riders there over the years, and many of them, you know, Emma Jane Wilson and Chantel and many others have really stuck around. I think that's kind of – and I wonder if maybe some of that is because they've seen now, you know, Emma Jane and Chantel have some success. Maybe people, you know, target that meet, and maybe they'll see, you know, you and Chantel and others down in Southern California to, you know, for female riders to try down there.
Yeah, you never know. We'll see what happens. Things are evolving.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, you were a part of the show Jockeys. What was being on a reality TV show like?
It was very eye-opening because reality TV show, I don't believe, is real reality all the time.
Yeah.
The editors usually have a story in mind before they start, and they tend to edit a lot. So, I mean, you know, obviously we say what we say, but they can also kind of puzzle in what they like to. So, or, you know, cut off the sentence halfway, stuff like that.
Well, because I remember you had one of the famous lines of, you know, winning is better than sex. And I imagine after that aired, you probably were given some grief by some folks.
Yeah, it was kind of, I felt like Bart Simpson with like Eat My Shorts episode. But, you know, it's good. Whatever is promoting racing, well, you know, it's better than some negative stuff that could have really been said. So, oh, well, we've got some attention for the racing industry.
And I imagine it was certainly an experience, if anything.
Yeah. It helps me in some ways, too, just to get exposure so that, you know, maybe I did pick up a couple more mounts because people knew my name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I certainly think that because you were kind of painted as the new young kid in the show, right?
I was, yeah, because I've only been here maybe 2 years at the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember Talamo and Aaron were painted as having a big rivalry, and it's like they sat right next to each other. I don't know how much they could hate each other.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, if I was to do one of those shows again, which I think I did something similar on the second season, but I was much more aware of what could happen if I said something. Often they'd ask you to, they'd be like, can you ask the other jockey this question or something, just to get that, you know, out of them, what they wanted.
Yeah.
What?
Can you go up and ask Garrett why he's so mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Caitlin Straw joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. You know, you made a move up to Golden Gate Fields a few years ago. Was that a good experience for you, changing circuits?
Yeah, it was, because I was one of the top riders up there, I guess. I think I finished the season with almost 70 winners, and I made some really good friends and connections with the owners and trainers, and it was nice to ride two or three winners a day up there. It just made me feel like, I don't know, I hadn't lost it, even though I knew I hadn't, but just getting on the better horses, it just made my job so much easier.
Was there times in Southern California where you were starting to have doubts about your ability or just your career in general?
It was wearing on me a little bit, just all of the criticism that gets put on you as a person. But you knew what, everything leads to something, because I got to move and have a really good start. And also I found yoga up there and I started practicing yoga, and I learned a new tool, I guess, in yoga practice to keep me from being tainted by anything anyone said to me. I found a happy place that can keep me happy when things aren't going so good, because, you know, everything is just how you see it.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I looked at your yoga page, and it had said that you had dealt with depression and anxiety, and that kind of hit home for me, because I've battled panic disorder and some other things like that. And did you find that yoga was really beneficial for just your general mental health, not as even as an athlete, but just as Kayla?
Yeah, it's good for me to find that, because I guess so many people do experience this stuff, but they don't talk about it a lot, or they medicate it, you know, with drugs or alcohol. And I think no one really realizes that a lack of physical exercise can make all these problems happen, because we get blockages in our body where our energy is, and if we don't, you know, exert it or let it out, then that's when you get problems in places, including in the way that you think and the way everything, you know, comes out of your mouth.
What I found with myself was that the anxiety kind of caused me to pull back from doing things that were active, because I was worried about, you know, having anxious panic episodes. And then the next thing you realize, I'm not exercising, I'm not going out, I'm not doing things, and now I'm feeling worse. You know, it's very cyclical how the mind can work in that way.
Yeah, it is. And I've learned so, so much about life in general away from being at the track too. You know, I've grown up in the racing industry, and I thought that's pretty much what my world revolved around. But, you know, there's so much more out there. So it's been a real nice experience to add that to my racing and be stronger.
Well, another thing, you now have two children. Your oldest is three, and your youngest, I think you said you just had in November. Does having children change your outlook on riding and your racing career?
Yeah, it does. It kind of makes me happier, and I go out there happier, because I know there's more to racing. There's more to life than just racing, and it's made me realize you can't depend on one thing to keep you happy. You know, you have to be happy besides what's happening. You know, if I don't win a race, I'm not going to be down for a day. It's just my job.
Yeah. And you don't have an opportunity to, because the kids don't want you to be bummed out when you come home. They won't let you.
No. You just really got to concentrate on finding that balance in your life. And, it's nice for them to be able to see that. So I like to teach those other children who come up to me too and ask for my autograph after I lose. I say, well, you have to learn how to lose as well as you do win. You know, stuff like that helps.
Well, yeah, I mean, in horse racing, if you lose 75%, you're a Hall of Famer.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Kayla Straw joining us. Kayla, before we let you go, coming back to riding now, do you have any specific goals right now, or is it just kind of trying to get more and more mounts and getting back into the winner's circle more?
Just to maintain that balance that I have in my life because I'm so busy right now, but I do want to be successful on the track and, you know, really improve everything around me. So continue to just, you know, excel wherever I am and find things to keep me busy, which is not hard to do.
All right. Well, Kayla, we appreciate your time, and we look forward to catching up with you down the road. Best of luck with the comeback to the races.
Thank you so much, Ethan.
All right. Kayla Stroud joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. We'll be right back after this short timeout. You're in the barn.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, so my thanks to Kayla Straw for joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. Very fun to talk to her and you know, catch up on her, the resumption of her riding career down in Southern California after having a second baby. So best of luck to Kayla. She's a great part of our team here. Bet America is one of our jockey sponsors. And our thanks to you, the listener, for joining us here on this Tuesday edition of The Barn. Don't forget, you can always email the program, barn, B-A-R-N, at betamerica.com. And Twitter, also a great way to get a hold of us, at Beamy Awards is my particular one. It's BEMIEAWARDS. You can also find Bet America just at Bet America, which is much simpler than mine. I probably should have. In fact, I used to have Twitter with my name. It was just at Jason Beam, but I quit Twitter for about 6 months because I needed to just get away from all the mayhem that is social media online. And it was a wonderful respite. I think everybody should take a little social media break sometimes. But we got a lot of really cool stuff planned for you in the coming days this week here on the show. Laviep and Kai III going to join us on tomorrow's episode of The Barn. We'll have some more fun with the Andy Serling game once again and some other comedy bits throughout the week. So hope everybody sticks with us here at betamerica.com/extra. Again, you can also find the show at just betamerica.com/barn, B-A-R-N. Yeah, we always love the feedback, love hearing from folks, and I hope everybody has a fantastic rest of their Tuesday. And we'll see you tomorrow in the Bet America Radio Network.